Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our live, unrehearsed, and unscripted time together. And I have a very special program today because I have my grandson Ezra Bailey on with me. And so, Ezra, we want to make sure that you're on the board. So, say hello to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world.
Hello, guys.
All right. So say hello again so I can watch the needles go back and forth.
All right. Hello, hello.
Got it. All right. So Ezra's on the board, and we're going to have a visit between friends who is also my grandson. But before we do that, we're going to do the traditional opening part of Captain Joe's From the Captain's Chair, and that is greetings to all of my people all over the world, all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, from the voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. Greetings in particular today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who have found me through the voice of Vashon. And that number of people seems to be growing exponentially these days. I had a call over the weekend right after the weekend from an Academy classmate with whom I had not been in contact for some time. So I told Captain Brown, Gibby Brown, who is a retired Coast Guard aviator of many hours in his logbook, to listen to the broadcast today because he would be mentioned, and I do so right now. The way that people find me is apparently they gimbal, which is our word for either gaggling or Googling or whatever that word is, but they gimbal and find me, and they find the link to Voice of Vashon, voiceofvashon.org. So a special greeting to all of those who found me just that way, and also to all who have birthdays. I have not done really very well about keeping up with all of the birthdays. Mary R. was wonderful about that, and she had them all on a calendar. And I've not done nearly as well, but I send birthday greetings out to all of those who have had birthdays in the last week, and in particular to Tim in Stockholm, young Tim, who is now 11 years old. That is gobsmacked me that all of these children continue to add chronological years. The Binnacle List has both good news and sad news. The good news is that Captain O'Brien, and by extension, I hope all of Captain Joe's, the rest of Captain Joe's people who are on the sick list, on the Binnacle List, continue to improve. I talked to him just a few minutes ago, and although his usual command presence did not come through loud and clear, he sounds much better. The sad part is that a friend who was a Navy veteran and with whom I, for a while, co-owned a piece of property here on the magical Isle of Vashon, has crossed his own bar. So I hope, Mike, that it was an easy crossing. You were a good friend for all of those years. All right, Ezra, so now we're going to talk a little bit about, first of all, I want you to tell where you come from, where you come from, and in particular, a little bit about the family of which you are a part.
All right, I come from way up north. We call everyone down here people from the lower 48, and which is Alaska and Fairbanks, which is pretty much smack dab in the middle of Alaska. And I am a member of a large family of whom we enjoy lots of activities together outside. And I'm down here right now to visit my grandpa, and this is what we're doing right now. So,
So when I knew that Ezra was going to be here on a Tuesday, I approached him with the conviction that we were going to do this broadcast together. And if you think that he was shy and said, Grandpa, I don't think I can do that. I don't want to do that. You would be mistaken. And in fact, he has embraced this idea with great enthusiasm. So I happen to know the answer to this question. And in fact, I seldom ask a question to which I don't already know the answer. But you mentioned some of the outdoor activities, and I know your dad and you hunt together. So give me a few groups on what you hunt and what you do with the product that you harvest when you do this hunting.
Absolutely. So in Alaska, we've got many things we are able to hunt, in which we're super thankful because all the food is really shipped or trucked down from the lower 48, which makes it fairly expensive to buy fresh food. And so hunting and fishing are really a main staple up there for many people. The largest being is the moose, and that is like that's like beef to Oregon is moose in Alaska. And many people go way up, even farther north, up on the Yukon River. That's where I like going. Other places, I mean, really all over. You can even bow hunt right in town. There's also the spring black bear hunts, which is coming up soon. I'm not sure I get to be a part of that this year, although I'm hoping I can. As well as the fall caribou hunts. They also have a winter one, which is cold and a lot largely results in whiteouts up there on the North Slope. There's some bad stories around up there. But yeah, really, you name it, we can hunt and fish for pretty much anything that's up there. So when we do get a moose or caribou or something like that, we haul it back on out to the home and into the garage, and we butcher it ourselves for the food, freeze it, and process it. So we have food during the winters and in the summers. Although things do grow there. As some people imagine it as a cold wasteland, where everyone lives in igloos and rides on dog sleds, and it's really not that. So yeah, but I am thankful that we can hunt and fish and all that.
Good. A good and complete and relatively brief and succinct report, which is what we like to have. Now, one of the things that you've been doing since you've been here with me, and I have to tell you how much I enjoy having you here. And it is a special feeling for me as your grandpa to realize that grandchildren want to come here and want to spend time here and want to do things together. And I know that I have said this many times on this program, we'll say it many times again, I'm the most fortunate of men. And so your dad, Stephen, is Mary R.'s son. And so Stephen and your Uncle Sean and your Aunt Heather are the three children that came to me when your grandma, Mary R., and I came together. I did not know at that time how all of this was going to evolve. But what I did learn very quickly was that those three who were then children became my children. And so you are as much my grandson as if your dad had been born to me. I feel that he was, I feel that he is, and I take all of that as making me the most fortunate of men to have all of you in my life. Now, one of the things that you've been doing since you've been here is that you've been keeping up with your studies. And all of you in that family are homeschooled. But you told me that you have your teachers spread out all over the place. So talk a little bit about how you are managing all of that while you're down here with me. And then we'll talk about one of the things that we did yesterday and what we've got on the calendar for the rest of your visit. So talk a little bit about your schooling and how you've been doing that. I think both that's very interesting. I think it is a remarkable accomplishment by your parents to keep up with that with all of you. So talk a little bit about that, son.
Right. So it started out as really our mom teaching us all. And after a while, she just couldn't keep up. And math grew hard, calculus, and she wasn't able to teach all that to the older kids. And so she found out of this organization or the school called Veritas Press, and this is what we take some of our classes in. And really in the high school, the high schoolers have the more classes than the younger ones, but it's a really cool a cool thing. We've got teachers all over the USA, and even I know there's some teachers outside of the USA, but there's definitely a whole lot of students outside the USA. I've a couple of my classes, I've got some kids from China and Asia. And it really is interesting and fun to learn from people all around the world, and I enjoy that. And so this morning I had a rhetoric class, and I just barely wrapped that up before we had to pack up and leave for here. And so I can log on wherever, as all the kids are, other students are all over. As for myself, we just log on, have a little classroom downstairs where me and my sister work together to get all of our stuff done, and so there is set times for the classroom setting, but other than that, the homework is left up to us to do on our own initiative, and if we don't get it done, then it's a bummer for us because we're behind the wave, and getting caught up is definitely not as fun as being with it. And so I'd say that was that's a good outline of what our school looks like.
So what we did not establish when we first started this conversation was how old are you?
I am 16. Yes.
And are you now fully enfranchised to operate a motor vehicle?
Yes. In Alaska, you are able to get your permit at the age of 14, which I did on my birthday. And all the way 2 years of practice until you're allowed to get your license at 16, which I did on my birthday as well. I was ready. I was on top of things for that. And so, yes, I've got my fully licensed motorized vehicle.
So you've been driving us around, and you have not yet been operating a little brown truck, but we're going to be taking little brown truck out because one of the things that I hope we have time for is to get... If we get a break in the weather, that we'll be able to get outside and do some, get some good work done around Captain's Quarters. And but I bring up the driving part because driving in Fairbanks in the wintertime is not easy. And so describe the motor pool that your family has and what you operate in order to survive in the winter in Alaska. And I was in Fairbanks just a few weeks ago, and the temperature dropped down to about I think about minus 15 at one day when we were out at the airport. It was about minus 15, and that reminded me of my time when I was the commander up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where it was not at all uncommon for it to be minus 30 in the wintertime. So describe a little bit about how you get around in Fairbanks in the wintertime and some of the vehicles that you have in your dad's motor pool.
Okay. So we've got actually a good many cars now with the along with the good many drivers that have come along. My older sister has a car. Actually, both of my older sisters have a car. We've got a large van, a Ford E350 Quigley, which is a four-wheel drive van, and a 350 truck, another Ford that is four-wheel drive, of course. Most of the cars in Alaska are either all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, and if you can make it work, then you can use a two-wheel drive car, but it can be sketch in some areas. But we actually did get a two-wheel drive car, and it's fun to drive around on the icy roads, feeling it slip out once in a while. But it can be a good tool to save gas. So when we wake up each morning, if we're going to work or running an errand, you've got to go outside and start the car up a good while before you're planning to take it out, because it's so cold that the engine will not be happy if you run it right then, and it can lead to a lot of money in fixing that. So that's one part that you always have to take into account. Diesels don't do well up there, not really reliable. You wouldn't want to take it out to a cabin or a hunting trip when it's cold out. It's a good chance it won't start up.
So you also earned the money to pay for your ticket to come here. And is that not true? It is true, yes. You're nodding yes. I know it's true.
Yes.
And so you also have, I don't know if you have employment lined up for this summer yet, but how did you earn money at 15? How did you do that?
Okay, well, I've the first job I had was working with my neighbor down on a house he was building, and doing whatever odd jobs he wanted me to do, and shoveling snow is also one of the biggest jobs and the first jobs you are able to get in Fairbanks, as there's many feet of snow. So between those two and more recent job that I took with my uncles, who are contractors and who set up a job for me doing insulation and vapor barriering, 12 cabins, and it was supposed to be 24, but we'll see about the 12. Those are postponed. So that was not quite the loveliest job, as you feel itchy every day you leave, but it's a job, and I was thankful for it, and that's how I made most of my money to come here and do other things.
So one of the things that I want everybody to know is that in this very remarkable family, that several of the children are adopted, and Stephen is a specialist in special education. And he works for the Fairbanks School District. And he is within that specialty is a specialist in blind children. And one of the adopted children is Benaiah, and Benaiah was blind from birth. He has never been able to see. And so he is now, Benaiah's 14?
Yes, yep, 14.
I think I've got all the ages pretty well sorted out now after all these years. So Benaiah is now 14, and he is very interested in and a very accomplished piano player, and he's interested in all kinds of music. And so the reason that I am able to have Ezra here is that Ezra had, as a gift, given his dad, Stephen, and his brother, Benaiah, and himself the gift of concert tickets here in the Seattle area. So they all came down, and went to the concert. And I want you to tell the people listening all over the world what you told me about Benaiah's reaction to the concert that you were able to give him as a gift.
Oh, he was beside himself. We were super surprised that we could actually meet the opener, which is Benaiah's all-time favorite artist, Blessing Offer, who's also blind, who came from Africa and is sort of a little bit of a modern modern artist, but he's also a piano player. And definitely a super surprise when we found out that we could go over there and meet him face to face. And Benaiah was he was beside himself with surprise and couldn't get over the fact. In fact, later on, he was excited to go home simply for the purpose of talking it up to the other siblings. And that was definitely worth everything to see him so excited and with Blessing Offer, who's this artist he loves. And I would do that any day.
Isn't it a wonderful thing, though, that when you give a gift, it turns out to be so much more successful than what you thought that it might be? That your generosity has actually come back to you many times over in Benaiah's reaction. I think it's a lovely story, and I'm glad that you told it to me. And what we're going to do right now, Ezra, is that I only have a few minutes left, and I've got some of my regular features that I need to cover. And then when we get to the end, you're going to sign us off.
Okay.
So before we get to that point, here are a couple things that I have collected during the week. And the first one is to remind everybody that today is tax day. I don't probably need to remind anybody of that, but it's also the beginning of the event that we call Give Big. And Give Big is important to Voice of Bashan and important to Captain Joe's people because during the Give Big period, which ends in early May, I will be making a donation to the Voice of Bashan on behalf of all of Captain Joe's people to make sure that From the Captain's Chair remains on the broadcast schedule. You all know that we are particularly treasured by the Voice of Bashan, From the Captain's Chair, because this is the one program that people write into the station and tell either the station that what they like, or maybe sometimes they don't like. Usually if they don't like something I say, they come to me rather than going to the station, and that's the way I like to have it. But I will be making a donation on behalf of all of Captain Joe's people to The Voice when we have Give Big. And should anyone out there feel so moved, I will be very grateful. I always ask that when any of Captain Joe's people send a donation into The Voice, that you also mention From the Captain's Chair, because that's how they tie it all together, and that's how they know that at least one of their programs is generating some of the donation income which is necessary to keep the station on the air. I'll be talking more about that, of course, as we get into the Give Big season, which goes from now until the beginning of May. During the week, the ferry Walla Walla ran aground on Bainbridge Island, and I watched a film clip as she ran herself right up on the shoal. The ferry story right now is that she had a power failure of some sort. I've not yet heard any of the official explanation of that. But the one question that I have for the ferry system and for her captain is that at each end of those ferries is not only a big rudder and a big propeller, but at each end there's at least one anchor. And if the both anchors, as soon as the captain knew that he had lost power and was not able to control the vessel and knew that he was going to go aground, humiliating enough, that is, but that he also, I would have thought, would have dropped both of those anchors right away, kept them at short stay, which means that the anchor is just touching the bottom, and that would have either diminished the forward speed or possibly even brought her to a halt before she ran aground. That question remains unanswered, and I am going to be diligently probing into how all of this happened so that I will have the answer to that question for all of you. I missed it when it happened, but on the 12th of April was the 111th anniversary of the sinking of Titanic. I recognize the Titanic sinking every year because the thing that came out of that was the International Ice Patrol. And I was the manager for the International Ice Patrol when I was the Coast Guard's ice boss for Commandant Jim Gracie. The International Ice Patrol still exists today. Now we track icebergs by aircraft and by satellite. But for 110 years, because it was established in 1913, the year after Titanic sank, for 110 years, it has been performing the function for which it was designed, increasing safety of shipping across the North Atlantic shipping lanes in the winter months. And a well done to all of the people who have manned the International Ice Patrol for over 100 years. On the federal anchorage off of my deck, off of Captain's Quarters, the Japanese flag car carrier Eternal Ace is at anchor. I doubt that she'll be there very long. Interesting thing about her is that she is of Japanese flag. There are not many car carriers, and not all that many anymore, of the merchant ships under the Japanese flag. Many of them now are flagged in other places. And but here we have Eternal Ace, Japanese flag, and is waiting to get alongside at the port of Tacoma. I doubt that she will be there much longer. Car carriers are of eternal interest to your captain because of the stability problems they have if the vehicles in them are not secured. You remember Golden Arrow that sank off of the port of Savannah and the fact that she had to be broken up. There's a lot more coming in on offshore wind farms, and this most recent piece that came to me about that was to that now the Coast Guard and the Pentagon are starting to object to leasing of land for wind farms because they are intruding into military operating areas, and I'll have a lot more to talk about that as well. Ezra, we have not even a minute left, so it is for you to deliver your We Never Say Goodbye until we meet again. You do that, and then I will close us out.
All right. Thank you guys so much for letting me be here. I guess then until next time, I will be at Grandpa's house for the rest of the week and into Alaska. And until then.
All right. So, as always, this is your Captain Joe broadcasting to you live. And with a special thanks to my grandson, Ezra. And we're having a wonderful time together. And he is doing his homework. And I'm going to get some work out of him. And as always, I always say that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly.